Kansas City has one of the largest Sudanese refugee populations in the country, and Stephanie Pearson wants to help teach them to teach. Pearson taught elementary school in Harlem before beginning graduate school at K-State. She's working with a team of educators and with Sudanese tribal groups to develop a curriculum of teaching techniques relevant to Sudanese culture. And what she learns abroad, she applies to her work with local refugees. But working in South Sudan is not easy. Stephanie Pearson told KCUR's Laura Ziegler that people have a misconception that the new country is peaceful.
There is still so much war and genocide going on. And I think that's what is surprising people the most is we want to implement all of these different ideas, curriculums, health care, issues dealing with poverty. We want to help, but we still have the problems that were there to begin with. So we have to address those before anything else can be taken care of. We can't educate until they are safe.
How do you, as an educator, as a graduate student in education, be part of that?
You know, I think it goes back to the old saying that education is power. And even here in the U.S., I was a classroom teacher for several years before I went back for my PhD. And as a classroom teacher, just finding ways that you can implement a curriculum, you can send materials even, just simple things like that. But there are things you can do here, and we have tons of refugees that are coming from Southern Sudan over to the U.S., and that's one of our focuses, too, is they're coming from these circumstances into our classrooms, and what do we do with them? How do we teach them?
So you're working as much in the United States as you are over there?
Yes, it's a dual effort. We teach them skills as to how to teach literacy in their own language. If they would like to learn a different language, we can teach them those skills, too. But ultimately, we teach strategies to teach literacy because it's the same as we're teaching our ELL students over here.
ESL, English as a second language.
There's many languages present in our classroom, and there are strategies that we use to teach them in their native language and in a different language.
How did your experience in Harlem, where you were an elementary school teacher, affect what you're doing now with Sudanese refugees?
I had Sudanese refugee students in the first grade. I had no idea what to do with them. And many of these students and many of these families want to be in their native country. It's just not, it's not safe. They can't get an education. They feel like there's no future.
Have you worked with Sudanese refugees in the Kansas City area?
I have.
And what do you find about that population? What are their needs? What are their experiences? What are their challenges?
I think one of their biggest challenges is adapting to our culture here. They are very driven. They're very focused. But their biggest challenge is adapting to our American culture. It creates a lot of anxiety for them and a lot of surprises. And we definitely never, ever want to take their culture away. But we're trying to find a way to help them adjust over here.
When you say anxieties and frustration, can you give me an example?
Sure. For example, right now, one of the big pushes in, let's say, reading language arts literacy is technology, e-readers, e-books, message boards, things like that. They've never been exposed to anything like that. So teaching them through that way is almost impossible. And the anxiety they feel because they already feel so far behind as it is, stepping into a classroom and not even knowing how to push a button on a keyboard creates a whole new fear of not being able to, I don't want to say compete in society, but to participate in society.
So you're really starting from the basics.
Yeah, we're really having to start from the basics and work our way through each level.
And do most of the Sudanese that are here actually speak English?
A good amount of them do. Some of them speak French. Which is lucky for me because I took French all throughout my education in New York, so I got very lucky in that aspect. But a lot of them actually do speak English, and very well, and I think that's another misconception is a lot of people think they can't speak the language, but English is actually quite prominent over there. And that's one thing I love about it is the idea of learning about the different cultures that you don't get to learn about on CNN or ABC because they're so small. Because we feel like preserving that culture is our essential goal in all of this, is giving them the foundations that they need to build up their tribe, but also to preserve their culture and to pass that on through the generations.
What is it that you're offering them that they don't already have in terms of preserving their traditions and their culture? They've already been doing that, haven't they?
They have, but we want one thing they haven't been able to do is preserve it, document it. And that's one thing that we want to give them the tools to do is to learn how to document their culture so it never dies out. And as we've learned throughout history, documenting any culture is kind of ensuring its survival throughout the generations.
So this isn't necessarily about having them function in a more modern society. This is really helping them kind of stay where they are but keep it in perpetuity.
Right. You know, our goal is to never go over there and enforce modern society on them. They want education. They want their children and their future generation of children to be educated. And we're giving them the tools to do that. What they do with that, once we give that to them, is up to their culture. But we want to at least provide them with the opportunity to create teachers within their villages so their children can learn, you know, conflict resolution and even basic subjects that their village elders are wanting them to know. And one of the things that we're doing is creating kind of a, I don't want to say an economic system, but a way for them to get income coming into their villages through producing a product and selling that product in trade. So we're teaching them strategies like that.
Small business strategies.
Right.
All right. Well, best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
K-State graduate student Stephanie Pearson spoke to KCUR's Laura Ziegler. Coming up, Susan's interview with poet and activist Sonia Sanchez, who was in town for a talk at UMKC last month. You're listening to KC Currents.